From the PCC Studios in Midland, it's The Catwalk, presented by Performance Chemical. Conversations connecting with industry executives, community leaders, nonprofit organizations, and social entrepreneurs.
Well, it is America's favorite podcast show. This is The Catwalk. What's up, Moose?
Hey, Jay, what's happening, man?
Great. Another week of broadcast excellence. Are you ready for this?
I'm so ready for this.
We're going to have a great, great show today. Let's kick this off with a little bit of the Moose rant.
Let's do that. Oh, by the way, you got a nice tan going, man. You must have had a great 4th of July or something.
Well, you look like you just came from the pool.
I did, man. I just came from the pool just in time.
The swimming pool.
It's hot.
It is hot.
You got to get in the pool, bro.
You got to get in the hot.
We've been in the hot. We need to get out of the hot and get into
the pool. It's like an Easy Bake Oven out there.
That's right.
Okay, give us the rant.
Hey, let's go for that rant. You know, I've been thinking about a couple of things here, Jay, and what's really starting to get into my crawl these days, mm-hmm. again, is when you go to a grocery store, I understand the self-checkout. If you got 10 to 15 items, I get that. I understand that. Mm-mm. But what I don't understand, and help me folks understand this. If I go to a convenience store and they have a self-checkout and you go in there and they're paying 3 attendees to watch you load the crap up on your scale and weigh it and then look at it and check it out with no touch, what am I paying for?
I don't know.
I'm paying for them to watch me make sure I don't steal it when it's clearly on video or what? I mean, I'm just concerned. It's like, what are we doing, folks?
So what's your problem with this?
My problem is O'Reilly's next? They're going to go in there and find your own stuff and look in the catalog and go get your own spark plugs for your lawnmower and all that good stuff. Or we're just going to depend on Amazon to do everything for us.
We might just do that.
I don't understand, man. And I just don't get it. I don't understand the whole concept. Why? I just going to have to quit going to convenience stores.
Maybe that's what the problem is.
I just get gas and go.
You talking about like Stripes and stuff?
Yeah, man. All these little things are popping up around town. They have little. Have you not seen them, Jay? You put the thing here. You go put this on the scale, and it's going to say it's $1.19. And the guy standing right there looking at you like, okay, what about your credit card? What about your cash? And put in that deal. Like, why can't he?
I think I got.
It's not time consuming.
I think I got.
It takes twice as long to get out there and put it on the scale, and then he just says, "Have a good day." I'm like, "See you next Tuesday."
Tuesday,
you know,
so you go on Tuesdays.
I go on Tuesdays. It's just not convenient. But then so that's one.
I think I got you. You got a second rant?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same type of rant, but I'll get off my rant. But I just help me understand how that works and why that's more economical, more easy for us to do when it's hard. It's more work on the consumer, right? It is more hard on the consumer.
It could be. Yeah,
that's not even proper English. But anyway, that's fine. That's my rant. And then I had to ask a question, and this is going to be lingering in your head all night. I know.
Uh oh.
So if stores are open 24 hours, mm-mm. Why in the world do they have locks on the doors? I mean,
I've never thought about that. Yeah, I've never thought that's a great question.
So hit me up on the flow line, folks.
Yeah,
I'd like to know why.
I would love to know that too.
I want to know anyway. Thanks for letting me rant, and I'm off my rant.
Well, I want to give you a save the date. Okay. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Save the date. So the Catwalk is going to be live broadcast at Hoop and Barrel on Thursday, July the 27th. That's our friends over there at Hoop and Barrel that serve tapas and cocktails. So join us for tapas and cocktails from 4 until 8 p.m. on awesome. Thursday, July 27th. There will be a silent and live auction that night. The show with us begins at 6:30. Again, that'll be a live broadcast, and this will be benefiting Backyard Midland. Now, we served with Rope Youth and Carl Borowski and his team a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Just around town. And so this is another way that we can give back to that ministry. So again, that is the live broadcast of the Catwalk at Hoop and Barrel on Thursday, July 27th. So we'd love for you to join us. We're going to have a very special guest. We're not going to say who it is yet. We'll kind of save that, but we have a very special guest for that. Are you ready for the top five?
I'm looking forward to that. Before we move any further, show me your hands, Jay.
My hands?
Turn the other side.
Yeah.
All right.
They're clean.
So I don't guess you used any sparklers for the 4th of July.
I did not use any sparklers.
Either that or you got smarter. No, you didn't burn yourself.
That was when I was a kid. Sparklers was when I was a kid.
Okay.
I'm older now. I don't use sparklers.
You let your children do it.
If they want to.
Okay.
If they want to. But okay. No. But thank you for that throwback.
I'm glad.
That callback.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Top 5 is sponsored by Tortuga Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, then Tortuga Real Estate is your answer. Servicing buyers and sellers in the Permian Basin, Tortuga Real Estate is growing as a preferred consultant for the region's unique housing needs. Give Tim and his team at Tortuga Real Estate a call today. So here is my top 5. Now, when I was younger, we didn't have a whole lot of money, and when I was in junior high and grade school, we had to take our own lunches to school. And the first couple of years, I carried my lunch in a brown paper sack. We got a little bit of money, and I moved up to metal lunch boxes. And they started making metal lunch boxes out of TV shows, superheroes, villains, whatever. So I'm going to give you my top 5 metal lunch boxes when I was a kid.
Was that late 70s, early 80s?
This would be from the 70s.
70s. Okay.
Number 5, the Flintstones. Love the Flintstones, not just the show, but I always loved carrying around the Flintstones when I went to lunch. Because I was eating and I started looking like Fred. You know, and so
you wore the same clothes to school as Fred? Lunch you're talking about?
I think I went to school in the same kind of car that they.
You had to pedal your pedal. You had to pedal your car.
I did. So the Flintstones were awesome. Number 4 was Fat Albert.
Hey.
You know that? You know what that
That's
is?
He's my hero.
He's your hero?
Yeah.
Fat Albert was a great. Would not be a show today.
No.
If they made that today, it would be canceled.
Obesity fat. But I couldn't even
imagine. See, that, there was your rant that you could have
I'm not going to rant on that.
So number 5 was the Flintstones. Number 4 was Fat Albert. Number 3 was my favorite metal lunchboxes. This one I had the longest of any other ones, and that was the NFL logos.
I had the same.
Did you have
that? I had that.
Are you serious?
I did.
Did you have the NFC or the AFC?
I had the AFC.
Yeah. There was one with the Patriots hiking through the center there. Yeah. I remember that. So the Bengals was actually spelled out Bengals.
Yeah.
I had the NFC, so it had the Redskins on it.
Yeah. You can't say that anymore.
It's okay.
You can say whatever you want to on my show.
Yeah, that's true. it had some of the older logos. It had the Giants spelled out Giants on it, which was great. And I love that. Because I would always get the paper and I would look at who was playing who, and that's when I started learning how to gamble when I was little, is I would pick which team I thought would win out of the paper.
Wow.
I would never apply for whatever number it was to try to win money, but I would go to school and I would have the little cutout and I would tell all my friends, look, this week the Vikings are going to beat the Lions, and they would, and I would get like an extra apple juice or something from someone.
That's cool.
So I was probably 5th, 6th grade when I started gambling.
I
loved it.
I used my lunch pail, but not for my lunches.
Who'd you hit with?
No, I didn't hit with anything.
Didn't hit anybody with
it? No, we collected the NFL pencils back in the day.
Yes.
We used to get those at school.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go and pay like, I think, 15 cents or something like that.
Did you ever sharpen them?
No, I didn't. I collected them, and I wanted to get everyone.
That's why you were not good in school.
I flunked out of the 3rd grade. I'm just telling you. So
twice.
I did twice.
So, number 2, Happy Days.
Fonzarelli.
Hey. You remember that?
Yeah,
that's great.
I remember that. Yeah.
Great. Did you watch Happy Days?
Most of my days weren't happy back then, so I didn't watch Happy Days.
Yeah. Okay. So those are 4, so there's a number 1.
I'm going to guess. No.
Okay, go ahead, because you may have this one.
Barbie.
No. great guess, but no.
My
number 1 would be Land of the Lost.
I've never heard of that.
You haven't? That is a great, it was a great show where these kids and their leader, I can't remember if it was his dad or the science leader, got caught in this vacuum of some sort, and they got sent back to dinosaur land, and so they were in the Land of the Lost. Will Ferrell did a movie recently about it. It was a bomb, but it was I love that. Land of the Lost was a great show. I would run home after school. I wouldn't run home because I rode the bus.
I thought you pedaled your car.
I rode the bus, and I would get dropped off about a half a mile from where our house is because we were on a farm.
Why?
And
no, that's not the only reason why.
The bus couldn't make it down there. So.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
So those are my top five. You had the NFL logo. What would be your number one?
My number one that I did collect, I loved it. It was a Star Wars. Like we did Return of the Jedi and had all the different ones. And I loved their...
that was good.
Yeah, I liked that one. So I did collect that one.
Yeah.
And then the thermos went with it. You know, so yes. That was really cool. So
yes.
Thermos. I was a cool kid, man. Had the Return of the Jedi, Ewok's Adventure, and all the episodes on the Star Wars. And, you know, I'd get my chili out, and it was nice because it would stay hot during... Chili. Yeah, I hate chili. I like chili and crackers, man. It's all good.
Did you ever have the $6 million man one?
No.
You remember that?
I couldn't even afford it. I couldn't even afford a half cent, man.
Okay. It's not how much. All right. Bruh. Did you know?
Bruh.
Okay. Did you know?
Worst.
Did you know? Bert and Ernie from the Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Their names came from a Christmas movie. Do you know which Christmas movie?
No.
The Sesame Street characters were named after Bert, the police officer, and Ernie, the taxi driver, in Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a wonderful life. Did you know that? I did not.
You
actually stumped me, and I learned something.
Now you know.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know what else I'm excited about?
The cool weather.
Well, it depends on what part of the world you're living in. I am excited about our guests that we have today.
We are too.
We are excited. So would you please welcome to the catwalk the Reverend Sean Williams right there.
Wow. Sean, awesome.
Right there. Welcome. You ever been called Reverend?
Never. Seriously.
Can we call you Father? I mean, what's the proper terminology? Pastor?
Sean would work. Sean. Really good.
Sean. How do you spell Sean? How do you spell Sean? This Sean.
Well, I'm gonna spell it like my cousin spells his name with an S-H-A-W-N.
Oh, thank goodness. We can be friends.
Okay, awesome.
That is how it's spelled. I had to think for a second. I was like, wait a minute. You put too many letters in there. So welcome, Sean. We are so glad that you're here. We're going to have a great time with Sean today. We've got a lot of great stories on Sean, a lot of great questions we want to talk to Sean about. But some of our viewers, listeners that aren't in the Midland area may not know who you are. So take just a second. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from.
Yeah, so... You said my name a few times. You spelled it once, so we're on a good track so far.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Canyon, Texas. That is where I live. It's up by Amarillo, known for the Palo Duro Canyon. That's all that stuff that's up there. So great time living up. I was a Canyon Eagle. They say purple pride never dies, but mine passed away shortly after I graduated high school.
Is there a story there to that?
No, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. Got done with school and was like, all right, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll still stand up for the alma mater if I go to a home game or something, but that's about the extent of my purple pride. But
wow.
Sorry to the Canyon Eagles out there.
Canyon Eagles.
You know, growing that's awesome. Up. Growing up, grew up in church. It was always a part of my life. My family went, my mom and dad, older brother, younger brother. We were always in church. We would miss baseball tournaments for church. We would go on Sundays and Wednesdays and Mondays and Tuesdays and just about any time they had something going on, we were up there. So it's definitely a big part of my life, but it was not something that I really started taking seriously until I was an adult. After high school, I went to Texas Tech. Thought I was going to go to Reckham Tech. I'll still throw the guns up every now and then.
Oh, absolutely. Even as a reverend, he has a gun.
See? Guns up. He does.
Texas.
I do. I am a gun owner. I like to hunt.
He does, yeah.
Hey, I know
that story.
We're friends. We are friends.
That may come up here in a minute.
Yeah, so at Texas Tech, I thought I was going to go into the medical field.
You know,
that had been my plan for several years, and I was taking steps in that direction, but at the same time was really starting to have a faith of my own and was really learning who Jesus was, not just about him, but who he really is. And the changes that he was making in my heart and in my life were really starting to show up. And as I was spending time with the Lord, I just heard him calling me towards ministry. And so I was hesitant, it's probably an understatement, to go all in on that. And so spent several months wrestling over the decision and trying to make it my own in some way instead of just being all in for what the Lord was calling me to. But eventually, I made the best decision I made, which was just to trust him completely. Dropped out of school, which was scary. Neither of my parents were too stoked on that, but they got on board real quick as the Lord just continued to put the path out in front of me. So was working with the college ministry in Lubbock at Indiana Avenue Baptist Church. Shout out to the Way College Ministry.
Yeah.
Pastor Travis there is just an awesome guy, great mentor. Helped me a lot through my job and with the residency program. And then in February of 2020, I got in touch with Crestview Baptist Church here in Midland, which is where I'm at still. So got hired in the middle of COVID, which was quite the journey.
I can imagine.
You know, just finished up a little over 3 years and hoping for many more. So that is.
Do you remember the first time we met?
Oh, man.
Do you remember that story? It's a good one. Moose, I don't think you know this story.
I hope you weren't at Chick-fil-A.
No, it was during COVID, so nobody could go to Chick-fil-A.
Oh, okay.
But it was how we met. You know, it was, I don't know if you remember this. You had come, and Pam was a children's minister there at Crestview, and this was when I was on staff there, and she was walking Sean around, introducing him to everybody, and this was in COVID. And she comes up and she said, "Hey, this is Sean. He's going to be our student pastor." And I stuck my hand out and shook it. And Sean was like, "Well, okay." Yep. And okay. Took my hand. I'm like, we became really close there and killed COVID at that moment. So I don't. Do you remember that?
I do. Take that, CDC guidelines. We're shaking hands.
Take that. We're doing it.
I like the way you said you killed COVID. I appreciate that. You too.
Yeah, because you had it like 12 times, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't shake the right hands, evidently.
So when you were in Lubbock, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've heard you say this in sermons and messages and stuff. You worked at Academy.
That is correct.
Best, worst thing to sell at Academy?
Best thing and worst thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, best thing, after I'd been there for a little while and kind of moved up into more of a kind of a team lead position.
Yeah.
Started getting involved with firearm sales, which was always exciting.
That's your area.
You know, there's a high level of pressure whenever you're like one of the last signatures to go on that paper before you hand somebody a firearm.
Wait, you have to sign it too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I didn't know
put
that.
Put your name on there. Yeah. You sign it off that you did all the paperwork the right way. That the person that you're selling the gun to had the right answers, the right responses. Mm. The background check was clean and all the stuff that goes into that. And so... I enjoyed it. I liked doing that part of it because, you know, I grew up, my dad's in law enforcement, so we've always had firearms around in a very safe way with hunting and target shooting and things like that. And so I enjoyed getting to step into that from kind of behind the counter instead of being the one shooting, being the one getting to kind of tell people and try and help some needs out in that way. I think the worst thing, and this is ironic because of how much I love this, but the worst thing to sell was a ping pong table.
Really?
I mean, that's ironic because I love playing ping pong.
Yeah.
But man, they are a pain. They are such a pain to move.
Because the folded up and...
Well, it's just in one big box. Like the whole table is in one big box. And so you can't do it by yourself. And I'm tall. I got a wingspan. Yeah. You can't move it by yourself.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought of that.
I've never thought about that. Have you ever thought about writing them a letter and telling them they can put that in a smaller box?
Yeah, I have regular conference calls with Steiga, so I think they're probably going to work on the packaging.
I like that.
That's a callback there. Moose, are you good at ping pong?
I used to be really good at a lot of things, but table tennis was not one of them.
Well, is table tennis the same as ping pong, though?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, you said you were big on ping pong.
So. Okay. I'm good at it.
You're good.
I can tell you all the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just beat you.
And Sean has beaten me quite a bit in ping pong, I will say.
I wouldn't think that'd be too much of a challenge. We ought to play it sometime, Jay. I think I could beat you.
Nah, Jay's pretty good.
I've got a wicked hit.
Backhand?
No.
There's probably some rust on it by now.
There's probably some rust. When I was at Crestview.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
We played all the time. I say all the time.
Wait a minute.
We did other work there.
Yeah, I was going to say, no wonder.
Sometime, yeah. Yeah, there we go.
And why are you so good? Playing all the time.
Exactly. Well, that's true. So what is your role at Crestview? What are you doing? You've been there, you said, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
So what is your role?
Yeah, so I have technically two titles, student ministry director and teaching pastor. So student ministry director came first. I've been able and been blessed to expand my responsibilities and just in my time at Crestview has been great. Mm-hmm. And so recently, that teaching pastor has come into the fold on that, and that's been a blessing. But for the past 3 years, and hopefully for many more, student ministry director, you know, people say youth pastor, youth guy, student guy, all kinds of different nomenclature that goes into it. But officially, yeah. If you're going to look on the website, student ministry director.
Junior high babysitter. That
there's a little bit of that. Yeah. There's a little bit of that.
So how have you seen ministry from the time you were a student in church? Because you said you grew up in church, so I'm assuming that you had someone who was a leader over you. How have you seen ministry for students change, especially with culture, the way it is?
Well, you know, it's one of those interesting things that, you know, we serve a God who is unchanging. And so there's some parts of ministry that just will always be the same. The message of the gospel is not any different now than it was then, than it was 2,000 years ago. But the packaging looks a little different, the way that it's kind of wrapped up and presented. You know, I think now something that we're noticing is just attention spans are pretty short. So to be engaging, you got to be intentional, got to have active engagement. It can't just be, you know, sit here and listen for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. There's got to be some activities and some engagement to go on with part of that. And schedules are busy. I remember growing up in youth ministry, there was nothing going on for schools, for sports, for anything on Wednesday nights. And that wasn't too long ago for me, you know, 10 years, I was in high school. And so we didn't have anything that happened on Wednesday nights. And I was pretty involved in stuff, you know, did scouts and baseball and band, and Wednesday night was off limits. That was youth group night. And that's really kind of gone away. You know, in some cases it's still like that, but we see it happen all the time. You know, practices or rehearsals and all kinds of stuff gets piled up every single day of the week. So that's definitely been a big change. So kind of not just a shorter attention span, but having to fight just to get the limited attention span at all with all the other demands that are just in the world today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Moose, did you grow up with a good student pastor or somebody in the church? Did you attend church when you were younger? Do you remember?
Yeah, we weren't really we didn't go all the time. Matter of fact, when I grew up in Shamrock, Texas, which is not too far from Canyon. So I was in the Panhandle as well. Yep. So, and I moved here in the third grade. We went to Kelview for a while. And then, you know, we went on Sundays, but we didn't go faithfully. My parents, you know, I don't know why we didn't go faithfully, but I didn't really start going faithfully until I was, I guess I moved here. Well, actually, I take that back. Started going pretty faithfully in Jowl, but I was, you know, 19, 20, 21 years of age. You know, my wife brought me to church, and so we didn't really go as a child. But I do remember going, and it's like I didn't like sitting there because my grandmother was the pianist, and so and my grandfather was one of the he was also very involved with deacon of the church, and we even made a little glimpse of a move, man. We would get that eye from my grandmother playing the piano, and we knew like we're in trouble. So I couldn't sit still long enough. I have ADHD really bad, I suppose, maybe back then, and I may have some still today, but I couldn't sit still and have no excuses. So I didn't really. I know it's a kind of a bad excuse, but I didn't go because I knew if I went, I was going to get in trouble anyway. So we didn't really go a lot. So,
well, my story is a little bit like Sean's. We grew up all the time. I think I was born in church in the nursery. You know, my dad was a deacon. My mom taught Sunday school. She was a WMU leader. We were there all the time, and there was some good to that. There was some bad to that because I became, you know, didn't want to go anymore. It wasn't anything new. I knew all the stories. You know, I could recite all those. But I'll never forget my youth pastor, my student ministry director, my leader, whatever you want to call it, Rick. Just a great guy, poured into me, spent some time with me. It was hard. I was an only child, so I wanted things a certain way and stuff. But I remember my student pastor, and my kids have had four different student pastors. Most recently would be Sean.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for what you do for students. I was a student pastor straight out of college and seminary for a number of years, probably a decade. And so I've seen how my kids have reacted to church and to student leadership. culture, social media probably has a lot to play with that. What do you think? What's your, where do you land on social media? Is there mm-hmm. can be social media be good? Can it be used for ministry? Is it more of a distraction? What do you think?
I think generally it is negative. Now, can it be used for ministry? Absolutely. I think you have to be very intentional, though. If you put social media on autopilot, it's never going to glorify Jesus. There has to be intentionality in it. I think it causes a lot of issues with young people finding their identity, finding their value, finding their worth in the opinion of other people, how many likes a post gets or the reactions to it.
Right.
I think it reinforces, these kind of dopamine hits of funny mm-hmm. videos, quick scroll, quick mm-hmm. scroll, quick scroll. And I think a lot of the algorithms for these platforms are designed to keep you on them for a long time. I think it diminishes productivity, and I think there's a lot of negatives to it. But is God still working through it? Absolutely, because he's better than it is bad.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so he's good, and there are people who use it and use it effectively. Crestview's on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We use it for announcements, for reminders, to celebrate some of the stuff that God does in the church and right. can use that to hopefully reach more people to see what God is doing. It's kind of one of those things that the darker something is, the more obvious it's going to be when the light shines. And so yeah. I think that's kind of what you see in social media. There's so much that's just of the world. There's so much distraction and so much, I think, work of the enemy that's going on in all of that. But it's really obvious whenever there's a gospel-centered post or a platform that's presenting God's word or encouragement from the Bible and praying for people. I see that on social media in some places, but not by default.
Yeah.
Most recently, Moose, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I've been watching a couple of documentaries on Hillsong, the fall of Hillsong and how it's moved through. And seems like the underlining thing there is that some of the leaders there did not have people pouring into them, speaking truth into them. Sean, who would you say, who frames your life right now? Who is at your table? Who do you listen to?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. When I was going through the residency program at Indiana Avenue, it was a year-long thing. They're trying to get us ready to go and work in a church and pastoral ministry. And that was something that they said is like, man, you got to have a lot of friends, but only a few people at the table. And so that was a lesson that I took to heart and sometimes learned the hard way. The people that are at my table, I think Pastor Jordan at Crestview, he's a great friend. He's been there a few years longer than I have. He's a few years older, has a few more years of experience in ministry. And so we are good friends, and I hope I encourage him. He encourages me a lot. My dad as well, he's wise, and I look up to him a lot just as a leader of a household, which a lot of those same things apply to a ministry. God's kingdom is a family, and so I look up to that. And then Pastor John as well. He's got a lot of years in ministry. He's very wise. He's a great leader and sees angles that I don't see typically. And so I think those three would definitely be at the top of seats at the table, the voices that I would take the most seriously for criticism or advice.
That's great, yeah.
One of the things that I've always thought of as I've gotten older and looking back at my years, I try to have some people at my table, but those faces and names have changed over time. And part of that is I've moved from ministry to in the world job, back into ministry, in the world job. Now I'm in oil and gas and I'm still doing some stuff with nonprofits. And so I've kind of got my foot in a lot of different things. Moose and I have talked about this, and he's been a great friend. I would have Moose at my table, obviously. I have one or two that have been standard through my whole life, kind of mentor kind of things. They're speaking, you talked about a couple of pastors at the church being good leaders to you. What do you see as your leadership style, and how do you deal with a toxic leader?
Oh, man, those are two big questions.
and we don't have a whole lot more time, but no.
I try to lead in a personal way. I want to hear people out. I want to know You know, if it's somebody struggling with a decision, struggling with sin, maybe it's just you got to make a decision for your ministry. Where are you going to go to camp? What changes are you going to make to the budget? I always try and think from a personal level. I am a mediator, I think, when it comes to conflict and hard decisions. I try and hear both people out and just try and bring it back to God's word as often as I can. And then sometimes I think some of the part that I struggle with is putting my foot down. I like to give quite a bit whenever people have ideas. And so sometimes putting my foot down on, no, I really don't think that's right. But I'm growing in that. And man, how do you deal with a toxic leader? Man, that's such a tough question. I've been so blessed growing up in church that I grew up in, with the youth pastors that I had, with my parents, with the bosses that I've had, particularly in church work. I've been very blessed, and so haven't had a lot of personal experience with toxic leadership. But I think generally, you know, if somebody is toxic in one area, if maybe they've been entrusted with some kind of leadership, with some kind of authority, and there's an abuse of that, man, there's usually something in a much deeper level that's going on. And so I think it's a tough thing to deal with as maybe an employee of that person or maybe somebody who would be following their lead. But I think you, for the sake, in church work, for the sake of the gospel, even if it's going to be uncomfortable, even if it might cause some disciplinary action towards me that's unjust, I think I would hope that I would have the courage to speak up on that and seek maybe a better spiritual well-being for whoever that leader is.
Yeah,
because it's not just about my job. It's not just about their comfort level or their leadership style. You know, if it's truly something that's subtracting from the gospel, then it's I would hope that I would see that as the problem that it is and speak up.
Yeah.
That's good.
As a believer, you know, Moose, you've served at the church. I believe you're a deacon. So you've had some volunteer roles. You lead a small group and stuff. How would you, Sean answered it from a church perspective, how would you, as a believer in the oil and gas industry, how do you deal with toxic leaders that you meet, that, you know, CEOs and stuff? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Again, Jay, you kind of try to do things on your foundation and your beliefs, right? And so if you surround yourself with good people, it makes it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But dealing with it with toxic in our environment, it makes it, I would say it makes it, it's the same. It would be in the church or it would be even in the oil and gas industry. Cause once you buy into that, it bleeds over into your people, and it bleeds over into who they view you as an individual as well. So there's no going back from that. And I think as a leader, you try to mediate that. You try to decide from yourself, is it a good investment for that individual, or is it not a good investment for that individual? And at some point in time, you have to, and I hate to use this as a term, but you have to cut bait or fish at some point in time. So you have to let them go and let them flourish because they're maybe not the right setting for you. And that's hard as any style of leadership. You have to be able to do the research, put the time in. And if you value the people that you surrounded yourself with, you're going to put the time in to lead them to be great leaders, because you think about it. You want someone that you can train up, someone that you can lead, that you wouldn't mind them being your supervisor one day, always.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, you got to look at that angle. Mm. So, but yeah, that's a toxic environments in any realm is difficult to deal with. And, it's a very difficult situation to be in.
You know, coming out of a ministry, I've had three tours of duty, on church staffs. Sean, how do you deal with your life being on display for everybody? You know, the scope,
yeah,
the fishbowl, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
is the spotlight is on you. Yeah. How do you deal with that?
Well, man, that was a lesson that I had to learn whenever I was not in a full-time ministry role. Mm. When I was an intern at the college ministry in Lubbock, I was, you know, hanging out with friends, and we happened to, our hangout spot was at a girl's house. And so we'd be over there till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, watching a movie, playing games, not doing anything inherently sinful at all. But I had a mentor named Trevor, and he came and talked to me, said, "Hey, man, I was driving by this person's house, and it was pretty late, and your car was out there. Why? What are you doing, man?" He's like, "Look, I trust you and I know you, so I'm not suspicious of anything going on, but you can't do that anymore." And the message in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about how a supervisor, an overseer, a deacon, a leader in a church, an elder, whatever term you want to use, needs to be above reproach. And that's where this, you know, magnifying glass comes in, that, you know, not only do I need to avoid sin completely, you know, flee from sin, resist temptation for my own spiritual well-being, but also for the sake of the effectiveness of my ministry. You know, there's a lot of examples that I could give of things that I avoid that I know by themselves aren't a sin, but I just can't be perceived as being under reproach in that way. Can't give somebody the ground to even ask, because as soon as you do that, you put the message of the gospel presented from me in jeopardy. You know, I want to be a useful vessel for the Lord. And so how I deal with that is accountability, having people that I trust to hold me on some things, stuff set up for myself to be accountable. And again, there's all kinds of specifics we could go to, but I think I really just have to keep a heart posture of being above reproach has to be enough for me. If I find myself trying to justify a decision because somebody's trying to call me on something, I've got to get to a heart check and say, man, it needs to be enough for you to just be above reproach and say, all right, I won't do that.
That's great.
It's good.
Leans back to that, who you're listening to, who you're inviting your table to, because you talked about the person who called you on that. So I think that's great. Couple just fun questions. So both of you, I'd love to hear answers on this. You know, it's kind of like we got to get the pastor out of the pastoral role, so we're going to ask you some fun questions.
All right.
Easy now. Easy questions.
Would you rather, okay, this is every day for the rest of your life, would you rather wear a bib or drink from a sippy cup at every restaurant you go to for the rest of your life? Oh, a bib or a sippy cup?
Can I customize the bib or the sippy cup?
Sure, but it's a bib or a sippy cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the bib.
You'd wear a bib in every restaurant for the rest of your life.
I think at least with that, I can explain the utility behind it. It's like, man, I really like this shirt. I don't want to get it messy. And I can just say that over and over again. I think with a sippy cup, I don't think there's, at least on the top of my head, there's not a single excuse I can give to why I would have a sippy cup.
Yeah.
All right, Moose.
I'm going to go with the bib as well. I'd rather be able to wash that bib than wash my clothes at all times and keep the stains out. I'm going to go with the bib.
I would have to go with the bib too, because I can't drink anything, whether it has a lid on it, not a lid on it, straw, whatever. I just don't think my muscles work too good, you've seen me.
Yeah, it's I have seen. That's embarrassing when I see you eat. But you do need a bib. But you didn't clarify baby bib, so I want to go with the bib, because a bib could be coveralls too. So
it could be.
So you didn't clarify baby.
Yeah, I didn't. But you know where I was going with the bib. All right. Would you rather every day for the rest of your life? Would you rather stub your toe or get a paper cut every day? Stub your toe could be on a Lego. Could be on the end of the bed, a nightstand, or a paper cut anywhere on your body for the rest of your life. Sean.
I got to go with the stub toe. No, that's it's smart. It stings.
Yeah.
But you use your hands so much in a day. And I get like you're on your feet all day.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I've ever had like, and maybe it's just I've been blessed to not have too bad of a stub toe. But I don't know that I've ever stubbed my toe and really been debilitated for more than a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
But I feel like with a paper cut, if it's in the wrong spot, you're going to feel that all day.
Yeah.
Every single day. So got to go with the stub toe.
Moose?
Man, I stubbed my toe many, many times, and I've said some non-Christian words when I stubbed my toe.
Hey, be careful. We got a pastor here.
I'm just saying. I think I'd rather have a paper cut.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it heals fairly quickly. If you stub your toe enough.
Does it, John?
It does.
No.
Yeah, of course.
You must be a Superman or something.
No.
It heals quick. Because the stub your toe goes away after a while, the little sting and the little thing. But the paper cut is there.
If you stub it, well, you didn't let me finish. If you stub it good enough and the nail falls off your toe like mine has done, the toenail, it's a long process.
Okay.
If you can get a paper cut, you can rinse it out with some medicine, some monkey blood, if you will, or something like that, you know. But you know, methylate, they used to call it monkey blood, you know. Rinse it out, clean it up, it heals real.
Cortisone?
No. It's called methylate, and it's monkey blood.
But if you got a paper cut on your finger where it bends or your knee or something like that, it never heals up.
And?
So I'd rather have the stump toe.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. I'll cut your finger and you stump your toe.
Hey, Sean, can you stay around a couple more minutes?
I'll make it happen.
Okay, awesome.
And now, Every Neighbor presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, today is July the 6th. It is the 187th day of the year. Some people will say 6th of July, or they will say July 6th. And 187th, there are some pretty important people having birthdays today.
Did you say 180 what day?
187th.
Oh,
day.
I thought you said something about the degrees outside. I'm like, yeah, it feels like 187 degrees.
It could be. Okay.
Misunderstood.
Here's why today does not suck.
Because I'm in the studio with you, Jay.
50 Cent has a birthday today.
Come on now.
50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Name a song.
I can't name one song that 50 Cent was in.
No, he's not in a song. Okay, can you name us? Can you name?
I think it is called In Da Club.
In Da Club. Yes, that's a great song. So he has a birthday today. Also, the actor Sylvester Stallone. Oh, yeah. What's he most famous for?
Rambo.
Rocky.
Oh, there you go.
Rocky. Well, both. I forgot about that.
Both start with an R.
Yeah.
Rocky. Favorite Rocky movie?
4.
Rocky. Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you would say, Moose?
Is that the one with the...
Drago.
The Russian. Yeah. Ivan Drago. Yes. I break you.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one, man.
Mine is the first one.
Okay.
The very first one.
Why? When he puts the steak on his eye?
Because it's the only one I've seen.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, Jay. I don't feel so bad. I've seen all the Rocky sagas and some of the movies. I like them.
Yo, Adrian.
I like them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocky 1. I've seen bits and pieces. It's only been on TBS.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. But to say that I've seen Rocky all the way through, classic movie. When I was in Philadelphia, I ran up the steps, ran down the steps. But that's all I've done with
He also played. No, I don't know about 50 Cent, but didn't Rocky play in? Oh, I dropped my paper. But
yeah, you did.
It's okay.
You have no more notes.
No, he played in that new series, Tulsa King, too. Right?
Rocky.
Yeah.
Sylvester
Stallone did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've not seen that.
Oh, clips of it.
It's okay. I think I've seen pieces of it too.
You know who else has a birthday today?
No.
George W. President. George W. Bush.
W.
Former Rangers president. Texas Rangers baseball president.
Okay.
Owner.
He's the owner?
Yeah, he was the owner at some point.
But
he was our president. What number?
43rd.
That is correct.
41 was his dad.
41 was his dad. 43, yes. Now, this is so odd because today is his birthday, and last week
he was having a colonoscopy.
He was a colonoscopy. 1 week before his birthday, he was like, now, Sean, you don't know this, but a week ago today, on George Bush's birthday, he went in for colonoscopy, and Dick Cheney, the VP, was president for 2.5 hours while he was experiencing the colonoscopy
mid procedure.
He Mr. Cheney is the president for 2.5 hours, and today we're celebrating his birthday. Have you ever met George W. Bush?
I have not. I have not had
have
the
you,
honor
Sean?
To meet him.
No.
No.
Have you?
No, I've never met him. But yeah, he was our president, and today's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Interesting. Yeah, happy birthday.
Also on this day in 1994, do you know what movie premiered? 1994 on this day.
I don't know.
Forrest Gump.
Oh. That's a good movie.
So let's have a little contest right now.
Okay.
Let's hear all three of our best Forrest Gump imitations. We'll start with you, Moose.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are. Let's hear it. Give us a line from the movie in your best Forrest Gump voice.
My name is Forrest Gump, and people call me Forrest Gump.
Nice. Nice. That's good. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Reverend?
Okay, you know, at the end of the movie,
oh my God,
when he's with his at the son, end of, yeah, the forest, and he's got Curious George.
Okay.
I know this. My favorite book.
That is spot on.
That's really good. Right, that's really
on,
good.
Right there. That's spot on. The only thing I can do is, Janae, why don't you love me? That's it. It's horrible.
That actually didn't even, was not even part of the movie.
Oh, it was?
No.
Yes, it was. He said that.
He didn't he say, also said, why can't you love me, Janae?
Why don't you love me?
Oh, why
I'd
don't
you? A good bit. Husband.
Mama said.
Do you know who was originally
like a box of chocolates?
Do you know who was originally cast to be Forrest Gump?
I'm gonna let me guess.
I wrote this down because you always have to criticize me.
I'm gonna tell you. Let me tell you who it was.
Not, who it was? I got it written down. There were five. Four.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, there were one, two, three. Oh, there were four. God. There were four that were chosen before him.
I'm gonna say I know. I'll only know for sure one. That okay. I do know of, John Travolta.
John Travolta was actually the first person.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
John Travolta. I can't see him doing Forrest Gump.
No way.
No way.
No. He's too cool.
John Goodman was also approached because in the original screenplay, Forrest Gump was 6'6 and 240. So that would fit probably a John Goodman type.
Sure, yeah.
Bill Murray was also approached, and the great Chevy Chase.
Those are all really good actors.
They all turned it down, and it went to Hanks.
Thank goodness.
I think he did a great job.
I don't know if I would liked it if those others would have been on there. Same thing for Jenny. Did you know Jenny, Robin Wright Penn, was not the original person
that they
asked? So here's the person. There were two. Nicole Kidman. I could see that. I could see her playing that. I can't see Demi Moore. Demi Moore. Wow. That was back when she was like really into actressing and actoring stuff. But I just can't see that. Now, Bubba, do you know who was originally cast? There were three originally cast for Bubba. And Bubba's probably the lesser of the characters there. He was the one with the shrimp.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Stuff. Yeah, great guy.
Who was the original cast?
The original person that they wanted to get was Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle.
He turned it down and then went to Ice Cube.
I was thinking 50 Cent, but it was Ice Cube.
No, it was Ice Cube. The other rapper. And then Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Okay.
Yeah. So where do you rank Forrest Gump in the Tom Hanks movie world, Sean? Top five?
All of Tom Hanks movies?
All of Tom Hanks movies. Where does Forrest Gump rank?
Probably top three, I think. Ooh. I think it'd probably in the three spot. I'd have to give it.
What would be the top three then?
Oh, man. I think Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Castaway.
Yeah.
And then probably Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Spot on.
I think you are spot on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's and then really right good. Under that would be the There's No Crying in Baseball.
Oh, League of Their
League
Own.
League of Their Own. Great. Their Own. Great.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
That one, that one's
yeah,
good
those are all good.
And then Big. Yeah. We could go for days talking about
could.
That.
We so could.
Story.
We could.
Yeah. What's your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Ooh.
Is it Gump?
Yeah, I would say Forrest Gump, but I don't know. Saving Private Ryan is pretty good too.
It is a great movie.
It's really good. So
well, today is National.
Hey, before we go,
you got something?
Yeah. So I want to give a kind of a throwback too to 50 Cent. You know, he has a really good friend in the rapping world, and he's not the original 50 Cent. Did you know that? He's not.
I did not know that.
So I wanted to figure this out.
The original 50 Cent?
He's not. He's an imposter. He's actually an imposter.
Two quarters?
Yeah, two quarters. Two quarters in a bag of M&Ms. That's his friend, Eminem. Anyway, just kidding. But Kevin Martin is actually the Brooklyn robber in the 80s. And so he...
Kevin Martin?
Yeah.
You mean Kevin Hart?
No, Martin. He was a Brooklyn robber in Brooklyn, and he was nicknamed 50 Cent. That's all he would steal out of the bag. That's kind of like his music's not worth 50 Cent, but I'm just kidding. No, it really is true.
That was Moose.
I know, it is.
Wait, he stole what?
He stole his name. He
stole his name.
He took 50 Cent from Martin.
Okay.
From Kevin Martin.
Okay.
But really, I shouldn't have said that, and I don't mean to say that. I don't listen to rap, and I'm sure it's really good music, but I don't listen to it because I can't understand it.
But, I was going to say, is it music?
Anyway, but if you had Eminem and 50 Cent put together.
What would you have?
You would have one expensive piece of candy.
That's
a bad dad joke.
That's
anyway.
So bad.
Goodness gracious.
Okay,
back. Instead of having a millionaire bar, you have a billionaire bar.
You would have it. Now, back to the National
Day.
Okay,
let's go.
So, we are going to celebrate today National Fried Chicken.
I love some fried chicken, man.
Oh, yeah.
Let me get my stuff up here.
As I'm dropping all of this.
No, man. You always drop this stuff. You're dropping the bomb again.
Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, my gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the best fried chicken. Terrible. What?
Nothing.
The second best fried chicken in Midland. So this first one is.
Sample that and break. We're
this first one is from Market Street, and the other one is from, obviously, what you can see on the box there. National Fried Chicken Day is one of the oldest national days in the history of histories. Of national days, and I love fried chicken. Now, here's where it gets a little crazy, because I like chicken from another chicken place.
I know, we can't say it on the air anymore.
We can't say that on the air, but that's not really fried chicken.
Nope.
Like Cane's or Chick-fil-A or something like that. It's not considered fried chicken, right?
Let's try.
So this is, take a bite. Mm. Now, I got the extra crispy. There's napkins if you need them. Extra crispy.
It's really
good. It's good. This is Chicken Express. Mm. So we're gonna sample the rest of this chicken, the rest of the show. Is there anything else you want to say, Moose, before we dive into more chicken?
Well, that's pretty good chicken. But I'll tell you the secret to chicken, to fried chicken.
Yeah.
To make sure that you get, number one, the grease, a good temperature, good hot grease.
Yeah.
But how they make the chicken to hold the juice. They do a brine wash, and they do it with like really ice cold water. Soak the chicken in the ice cold water with the salty brine water, and fry it to a nice golden brown. And you can use sometimes they even use pickle juice with the chicken.
Pickle juice.
I do like pickle juice.
You like it on watermelon?
I like it on watermelon. It's another story.
Weird.
It goes with fried chicken too, by the way. I'm just saying, pickle juice, watermelon, fried chicken, it's all great. But it makes it, it holds the juice of the chicken in, and it makes it great. So I'm going to enjoy some National Fried Chicken today. I'm ready to get some fried chicken on.
And if you're listening, watching, we would love for you to stop by your local establishment that serves fried chicken. It doesn't have to be places that have legs and the wings and stuff, but you can go wherever you want to and have some fried chicken today. Sean, thank you so much. It's been an honor to have you sitting in the third chair for us today. Moose, anything else you want to say?
Did you just call him Forrest?
No, sitting in the third chair.
Oh, you said Forrest.
Being
for us.
For us.
Oh, I said Forrest.
You got Forrest Gump on the brain.
Way to go, Janae.
See, there we go. There we go. Thank you again so much for being here. We loved it. And
thank you for sharing your story.
Appreciate what you're doing. If you are listening and watching, you do not have a church to attend, a place to go and plug in and find community, I encourage you to find and look up Crestview Baptist Church.
I agree.
It is a good church that does good things in our community, and they have
great leaders.
Groups, great leaders. And I know that because I was on staff there, and I also attend there, so I can speak on both of those.
Absolutely.
So thank you again, Moose. It's been a great day. As we always say, don't be sad it's over. Just be glad it happened. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
To connect with the guys or subscribe to the weekly Flowline, send us an email at media@perf-chem.com. Every neighbor is the bridge to supporting community engagement between business and nonprofits. Every neighbor is here to simplify the pathways to connection in our community. Connect with us at everyneighbor.com.